Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, it's very often that you see headlines reading faster payments and real-time payments, and often media will use them interchangeably. But by doing so, it's really only confusing people more, as there are differences between the two, and in many ways, they're not so subtle differences either. Now, that being said, there are advantages to both when compared to older payment rails. So to talk about these differences, advantages, and considerations, I have Sarah Grotta, who is the director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group, and Steve Murphy, who is the Director of the Commercial and Enterprise Payments Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot to learn on today's episode. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So Sarah and Steve, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode as we're taking a look at faster payments and also a little bit of real-time payments here. Now, Sarah, I want to start off with you here, right? Because I know that this is a subject of really great interest to a lot of individuals, especially where you've got FedNow announced a couple of, might be a year ago at this point, that they were going to be getting into faster payments as well as some other individuals. But I really kind of want to break down from a 101 perspective, because I think especially in the media, there tends to be a mix of, hey, let's loop in faster payments as the same thing as real-time payments, but that's not necessarily true. So I'm hoping that you could kind of define each one of those for us. So, and then also better pull out like what systems are involved in each one of those terms, so that way we can better define them within the industry.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do like to reference the Federal Reserve's task force definition, because I think it's good if we kind of all have a level understanding. And the way that they look at real-time payments is a ubiquitous, safe, faster electronic solution for making a broad variety of business and personal payments, supported by a flexible and cost-effective means for payment clearing and settlement groups to settle their positions rapidly and with finality. And I would just sort of highlight ubiquitous, faster, cost-effective, rapidly, and finality. And so, you know, oftentimes what we'll hear is that what the clearinghouse has built through the RTP network and what the pending FedNow solution is defined as are really both real-time systems. They're going to post and settle within seconds. And quite frankly, they really are the solutions that most closely mirror that definition I read from the Federal Reserve Task Force. Now, certainly there are other payment types that meet some of that definition. So we think about things like same-day ACH, Zelle, debit push payments, and they're all fast, but maybe they don't necessarily settle in real time. And I think we often think of those channels as faster payments, not real time, but faster. But, you know, at the same time, many in the industry will use the terms faster and real time fairly interchangeably, and certainly I'm guilty of that. But I think that really just kind of points out to a bit of the confusion in the market and the need for clarification.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I think it's always extremely important to really kind of on the onset of particularly these kind of discussions to have those definitions there, because then it really kind of helps the audience to really be able to understand exactly what it is that we're talking about. And to your point, yes, I certainly do see a lot of that confusion between the two terms. But now, Steve, I want to point out one of the things that Sarah had brought up was ubiquity. So since we're talking about real-time payments and the ubiquity of it, what is the current state of adoption of real-time payments by banks?
Yep, that's a good question. It's a big one in the industry. The latest information from TCH is that 28 banks are directly participating in RTP. And what that means is that they are connected to the network and can at least receive real-time payments. So we think a bit more than 3/4 of those are also now initiating or in effect sending payments through RTP as well. So There are also 19 separate third-party service providers, or TPSPs, who are connected and capable of providing some level of service to depository institutions. At present, it looks like another 13 banks are utilizing RTP through these TPSPs as well. So this is all based on the published information by TCH. So given website updates and lags and so forth, these numbers are likely a bit higher at this point. So for example, at the end of 2019, TCH indicated that they were reaching 50% of all US bank accounts, and we're expecting to achieve almost 100% reach into those accounts by the end of this year. So we suspect that the pandemic has likely slowed some activity there, but using sort of simple logic, since we're almost in September, a reasonable estimate would be about 60 or 65% of accounts are now connected to RTP. That would be US bank accounts, combination of consumers and business. In terms of B2B use cases, Sarah and I had done a series of interviews earlier this year with product managers and other types of managers at banks that had connected with RTP. And for members of our respective advisory service, you can read the details of those interviews in a real-time payments report that we released back in March, which, you know, was only a few months ago, but seems like years given everything that's happened. However, at the time of those conversations, it was clear that B2B uses were limited. So sending an RTP payment as part of the normal accounts payable choices for payment types was not yet a thing. Consequently, the use of standalone remittance advice, which is the ability to extend up to 4,000 characters of remittance data, it's also not being used very much, at least at this time. So at the time, the uses were really just last minute invoice payments, funding of payroll accounts, and broker-dealer account opening. Also, the request for pay message at a number of institutions was only being stood up during this year. So additional volumes in that message case or use case is likely going to start to show up more readily in 2021. So I think Sarah will have some insight on the other use cases.
Yeah, so thinking about sort of the P2P channel, business to consumer and consumer to business space, you know, we've certainly seen some growth there in many of those, starting with P2P, which has grown the greatest amount. You know, it was growing, you know, around 50% year over year before the pandemic. And if we look at it now, the pandemic has just given it a real boost. And I'm thinking about P2P solutions that are both financial institution based, whether they are through one of the core providers or whether it's through Zelle, and then also some of the fintech solutions like, you know, Venmo, Square Cash, Facebook Messenger, and other solutions. So, you know, really, you know, where is it that P2P and real-time payments come together? That happens in a couple of ways. You know, when thinking about Zelle, we know that transactions clear and post through Zelle in a matter of seconds, but the settlement for Zelle has been a next day transaction. You know, maybe that's not very important to the consumer. Consumer doesn't care when the bank gets its money. They just want to know that they have funds and they can spend it. You know, but from a procedural perspective, that settlement piece is also beginning to move to a real-time settlement. So Zelle has integrated within the clearinghouse RTP solution. So those financial institutions that are integrated into RTP can now receive Zelle P2P transactions settled in real time. The other apps are also sort of getting into that game a bit as well. So we are starting to see that some of those fintech offered solutions are looking at RTP as their means of transmitting both the message as well as the actual dollars. And they're also using some of what, you know, we call the faster payment solution. So, you know, they also utilize things like the debit push payments to offer transactions to consumers within seconds or minutes. We also have seen a fair amount of activity in the B2C channel. So, you know, think about that use case that we hear about so often, insurance payouts. You know, that has certainly grown. There's also been a growth in the number of refunds and rebates of various sorts that have been going through some faster in real-time channels as well. And another area of growth for the B2C channel is in payroll-type transactions or quasi-payroll. So, you know, think about getting paid in, say, the gig economy, where individuals are often paid on a daily basis or want to be paid after each task. Oftentimes you'll see that activity going through a faster or real-time transaction. And I know that the clearinghouse has commented that they're seeing a tremendous amount of that activity through their network. I think that the consumer to business channel is really just beginning to take off. You know, I think of consumer to business as more of the use case of, say, a bill payment or maybe a consumer paying a small business for services. So, you know, paying the landscaper kind of scenario. I think this is really just at its initial stages. You know, this is where that request to pay capability that Steve mentioned really comes into play.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that those are all extremely interesting use cases there on both the B2B and the B2C side, and then the C2B side for it. But now, kind of taking a look back at kind of really the two core players really in this real-time payments arena here. You've got the clearinghouse, as we've mentioned, and then also the Federal Reserve. Now, as I understand it, TCH has had their RTP rails launch for about 3 years now. But I'm really curious to get possibly from Sarah, from your perspective, what does the status look like for the Federal Reserve's, you know, recently announced FedNow real-time payment system initiative?
Well, that question is actually really timely because the Fed held a call quite recently where they provided an update. And some of the key points that they made that I took away from that call is that they are at the point in their project for standing up the FedNow solution where they have really defined the core capability. So they know what this is going to look like. And from what I have heard and what I've seen is that at a high level, it looks like it's going to really match up with what the clearinghouse RTP solution looked like. A lot of similarities. And I think that's going to be important if we ever want to get to the point where these two networks are interoperable. I think we're going to need to see that there's quite a lot of similarities between the two. Some other points is that they are still on track for a 2023 or 2024 launch. They plan on doing this as, you know, sort of launching an initial product and then following that up with several planned updates to begin to include more and more features. They do have plans to include some fraud tools early on. And those fraud tools sound like they're going to be, you know, fairly, you know, fundamental or simple to start off with, you know, such as, you know, the ability to establish limits on a transaction level. And also importantly, there'll be some liquidity management tools to help financial institutions to appropriately manage their settlement with the Fed. And that could be used for both the FedNow as well as the RTP solution. Interestingly enough, what's not included in the initial launch is a directory. This is the creation and the maintenance of a database where you might have an alias, such as, say, a mobile number that's attached and assigned to a checking account. So that's not one of the initial features, although it's still under consideration. On the topic of interoperability, we're still not quite there. So, you know, TCH RTP is going to be one platform, and FedNow is going to be another platform, and how we link those two together so transactions flow seamlessly, you know, we really don't know how that's going to happen, although, you know, certainly the conversation is there and the acknowledgement is there that that's a very important goal.
Yeah, certainly very interesting there. Now, for the last question that I've got here, right? You know, for quite some time, I think that there was some hesitancy on banks to start to participate in real-time payments or offer a real-time payment solution, where they were kind of waiting to see what the Federal Reserve was going to do. And then when the Federal Reserve announced that they were going to be coming out with FedNow, I still think that there's still some potential for banks kind of sitting there and saying, well, we're going to wait for them to kind of flush it out just a little bit more to really see what these two core systems are going to have to offer. And if there is going to be, as you said, Sarah, you know, potentially maybe that interoperability between the two systems. But from Mercator's perspective, what is it that you're suggesting that banks do or that they look at that might be on the fence about launching a real-time payment solution or have not considered such?
It may sound sort of fundamental, but many FIs are still really unclear as to what the various faster payment systems do, you know, which is kind of what Sarah was outlining earlier. So when it comes to the RTP rail specifically, the first thing to do is make sure that you know what the RTP messages are and what capabilities that the network provides. So getting access to it, what can that bring to your institution on behalf of clients? So what once that's understood, then some determination has to be made about A, is there an existing demand for these services from your client base, either retail or business and corporate banking? And if not, should the bank be out there creating awareness as to the benefits of real-time payments, RTP in this case. Second, you know, you should be anticipating, or should you be anticipating, demand as potential fintech and banking competitors launch these services over the next couple of years, leaving you with a potential gap that can be exploited by others in that time frame. And then third, given the advancement of technology in general, should your institution move ahead on a launch project, you know, just to stay ahead or at least be in parallel with the curve? Since 5 years from now, client expectations are really likely to be quite different and more demanding with regard to, you know, real-time and faster services. So once these things are known and kind of vetted within the institution, then the effort required to launch should be understood. So then a determination can be made for direct participation with RTP or getting enabled through a third party. The direct connection effort is really substantial, which, you know, we found out during our interviews, but the extra effort may provide a longer term cost benefit by eliminating third party ongoing charges. So understanding the demand and the cost factors, then an ROI estimate can be made, in which case a sort of bite the bullet moment will be faced by the institution. So that's, you know, that's how I'd summarize it.
Yeah, I think that's a great way for financial institutions to think about it, and just kind of honing in a little bit on, you know, the point you made, Steve, about demand. You know, I do hear from financial institutions quite a lot that, you know, they don't feel a sense of urgency because their customers really aren't asking for it. And, you know, they may not be hearing that from their customers, but you know, there may be other ways to really help to determine the actual interest in real time or faster payments. And I think that can be done by taking a look into your existing accounts and the degree to which you're actually seeing faster real time payment activity within those accounts. And you may just not necessarily be focused on it. So, you know, for example, if you don't offer a P2P solution today, you know, are you really getting a lot of loads and cash outs in your accounts, you know, to and from P2P apps that maybe you don't support? And so as you take a look at that, you know, you can ask yourself the question, you know, am I comfortable with that? Or is there an opportunity to offer that solution? And, you know, can I be a little bit more front and center with my customers and offering that particular solution? I would also take a look at, you know, what you're seeing in terms of same day ACH activity. I mean, that could be something of, if you will, a leading indicator that some of the capabilities around a faster transaction are actually something that your customer base is looking for, both on the consumer and the business side. So, you know, as a financial institution, you know, certainly you are receiving same day ACH. Are you sort of tracking what you're receiving and is that growing? And if you also originate same day ACH, you know, has that really been developing and have you marketed that to your client base? Have you really started to productize and price that particular solution? And then I would also, you know, go and measure the level to which you're seeing deposits into your account system made through the debit push networks for things like disbursements. And I think if you can get your arms around that, that will help to give you sort of a basis for understanding the importance that real-time and faster payments is having within your financial institution even today.
Excellent. Well, I certainly think that's very fantastic. And as I understand it, and this is a heads up for our audience here, both Sarah and Steve are going to be participating on a Mercator Advisory Group webinar that's going to be taking a deeper dive look into the conversation that we had here today. And we'll make sure that we have a registration form in the article below. So for those of you who are following along on paymentjournal.com, you'll be able to view that form in the article below. So Sarah and Steve, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about real time and faster payments, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Okay, thanks.
Ryan.